medical pastoral education at Baptist Medical Center in San Antonio, one of the many points they taught us was to think in terms of Bible stories. What story in the Bible, what character speaks to this situation? Recently, while visiting someone in the hospital, they confided that they couldn't help it, but they were angry with God because of their circumstances. They were angry that God had inflicted pain on them for some supposed sin. After stating my belief that God does not inflict suffering on us, I also said it's okay to be angry with God. God can handle it. In fact, I believe God wants us to wrestle with what we believe. The Bible story that speaks to this point is today's scripture, an example of a person wrestling with God. Jacob, renamed Israel, is one of many flawed but loved children of God who wrestle with their circumstances. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the father of Joseph. Jacob was loved and blessed by God, yet endured hardship and famously wrestled with someone he described as God. Jacob is a great source of familiar Bible stories. He's the one who tricks his brother Esau out of his birthright for a pot of lentil stew. This story shows how God still chooses and uses scoundrels like him and scoundrels like us. In another story about Jacob, we see how God promises protection, presence, and provision. In Jacob's dream of the ladder to heaven, we see the beautiful dream of angels descending and ascending the ladder into heaven. In another Bible story, we see how Jacob is tricked by his uncle Laban, causing Jacob to marry the older sister of his beloved Rachel. We later see how that marriage can turn into a blessing for those who, like Jacob, are called to God's purpose. Today, we see how the trickster and scoundrel Jacob is transformed through struggle into Israel, the father of the nation that God chose to bless and to bless all nations. This strange short story is what Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann calls vague. Interestingly, he says it's probably the most extensively interpreted text in the patriarchal materials, probably based on its lack of clarity. Who is the man that wrestles Jacob? Artists over the centuries have portrayed Jacob's opponent as an angel. The story begins with calling the wrestler a man. Jacob ends the story with saying he's been face to face with God. And for that matter, what kind of wrestling match is this? Somehow it lasts all night. Somehow Jacob, who we first met as a stay-at-home mama's boy, manages to wrestle all night and to some extent prevail until his hip is dislocated. Surely God could have made short work of Jacob in a wrestling match. Surely an angel could have prevailed against Jacob. The idea of wrestling with an angel has captured the imagination not only of artists, but also of authors. A search of the website Goodreads returns 88 results for books with the title Wrestling with Angels. There's something about the idea that we find ourselves wrestling with the divine that explains human experience. While we may think we're supposed to have unquestioning belief, we find ourselves fighting questions and doubts. We experience pain, disease, decline, and other troubles we don't deserve. Why, God? Sometimes those doubts make us feel like we're wrestling with angels. In her book, Wrestling with Angels, award-winning songwriter and critically acclaimed recording artist Carolyn Ahrens writes that her book is about, quote, having a faith that not only survives, but thrives in the midst of unanswered questions. Ahrens describes her early life as very normal and conservative, with her middle-class house with a two-car garage and a welcome mat personalized with the family name. This was a problem for Ahrens as a young girl because she'd been taking guitar lessons and writing songs and, quote, was pretty sure that typical conservative girls didn't become famous folk singers. She needed a dangerous, fascinating, or tragic background, end quote. Years later, Ahrens describes a time when she was visiting Nashville at the home of some friends, and as she lay in their guest room, suddenly she could not feel the presence of God. Physically, she felt sick to her stomach. Emotionally and spiritually, she felt like she was in cardiac arrest. The life-giving oxygen of faith and hope that had always come naturally was inexplicably shut off. The light that had always sustained her when doubts arose went out. In trying to figure out what happened, a friend who Carolyn describes as a spiritual warrior, says she was under attack by the enemy who wanted to derail her ministry as a Christian songwriter and artist. Another friend, who she described as a Christian mystic, told her she was experiencing, quote, the dark night of the soul, end quote, a test that God reserves for saints that He loves the best. Regardless of the explanation, Ahrens decided that if she could not believe as a natural reflex of the heart, she would believe as a conscious exercise of the will. She mourned the loss of certainty and the feeling that somehow it was heretical to not be certain. Somehow she felt that challenging her belief system was a challenge to God. However, she came to see that the pain was the result of God forcing His way out of the box that she'd been keeping Him in. Jacob had been keeping God in a box as well. As you recall from the story of Jacob's wedding, God is not even mentioned in the course of the story of Jacob's choice of wife. Interestingly, the wife who gives birth to Judah, the ancestor of Jesus, is not the wife Jacob chose. She is Leah, the wife Laban tricked Jacob into marrying. In today's story, Jacob is returning to the land of Abraham and Isaac and is fearing conflict with his brother Esau. And as is so often the case, fear leads Jacob to pray to God. According to Brueggemann, this is the only extended prayer in the book of Genesis. Jacob prays as follows. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff, I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. End quote. Jacob, in his time of fear, turns to God in prayer. Jacob has run out of tricks and manipulations. He has sent Esau gifts in preparation for the meeting, but has learned that Esau is coming with a company of 400 men. Jacob has split his traveling party to minimize the danger, but he's afraid of what's going to happen. In this time of fear and turning to God, he wrestles. Jacob wrestles with fear and with doubt. And what is the result of this wrestling match? The name Jacob, which means supplanter, grasper, or trickster, is changed to Israel, which is translated to mean he who has wrestled with God and man and has prevailed. Whoever Jacob wrestled with, that being is able to redefine Jacob into Israel. The man who went into the wrestling match is someone who had relied on his own ability to trick and manipulate, has come out as someone who turns to God in prayer and has to rely on God, not on his own strength and understanding. It's interesting to note also that the man who comes out of the wrestling match is not unscathed. He's limping and presumably limps the rest of his life. Jacob is literally defined by the encounter and becomes the man who goes on to become the nation of Israel. Jacob becomes a man who allows himself to be moved by God rather than one who's always trying to manipulate others. Israel is a man who's able to live in the uncertainty of God's leading, rather than requiring the certainty of his own making. And God uses that uncertainty to carry out God's greater purpose. Aaron's describes the result of her wrestling match with God this way. To this day, I sometimes mourn the simplicity and certainty that evaporated in the heat of that sweltering summer. God never did answer my desperate plea to make my faith like it used to be. Once I entered a little way into the mystery, there was no going back. I could no longer list all the things I did not understand about God as threats to my faith. Instead, they became the primary evidence that God was in fact God, and that I was in fact not. She goes on, I was no longer forced to reduce God to something less than infinite. I could just go ahead and endure the tension, sometimes experienced as doubt, and believe anyway. Sometimes we wrestle with God. Sometimes the event we find ourselves in causes us to fear and to turn to God in prayer. Sometimes we feel the presence of God, and sometimes we don't. Faith is about how we act when we're not certain and don't feel the presence of God. Faith is about how we act when we are not certain and don't feel the presence of God. Faith is knowing that God is there whether we feel God's presence or not. Faith is being willing to limp on toward the promised land, even if Esau is waiting for us with 400 men, because we choose to live as if God is present, whether we feel it or not. May each of us come out of our wrestling matches with God and live as God's faithful people. Amen.